Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. WBUR has launched a new reporting project. It's called Bostonomics, and it's dedicated to covering the region's booming innovation economy. The Bostonomics team has a new editor and lead reporter, Asma Khalid. She might be a familiar name to you because Asma was a political reporter here at WBUR, but for the last year and a half, she crisscrossed the country for NPR covering the presidential election, and we're just so glad to have you back in Boston, Asma. Hello.
I am glad to be here, too. Though when I see the forecast and I see the snow, and I'm like, God. I really decided to come back at this moment.
You could be back in Florida at the moment. All right. Well, so let me just ask you, though. I mean, you did spend 18 months or so covering presidential politics nationally for NPR. Weather aside, why did you want to come back to Boston and cover tech and innovation?
So, Meghna, my beat during the election was demographics. You probably know this. I know we talked about some stories during the course of the campaign. And so I really was responsible for going to kind of key counties and key states all around the country, talking to voters. And I wanted to hear from voters, you know, what they were excited about, as well as what they were scared about. And one of the things I realized that some people are very, very terrified of is losing their jobs. You know, a very rightful concern. And we heard during the course of the campaign, some people were blaming immigrants for taking their jobs. But there were also other people I talked to who realized that the fact that, you know, they don't have workers in the steel mills anymore is not because of, say, Mexicans. It was because of automation. And they were worried about what these changes in technology would mean for their future.
And so how specific were they in terms of what was making them so concerned?
So, Meghna, I have this very distinct memory of a gentleman I met in Youngstown. It's this working class region of Northeast Ohio. It was actually the last big reporting trip I took. It was right after the election. And I met this guy. His name is Leo Jennings III. He's a Democrat, a former union organizer. He had grown up in the shadow of the steel mills in Ohio. And he told me that he had seen people, you know, sort of just in front of him lose their jobs. He said he was terrified of something that totally surprised me when he said this. He said driverless trucks. It just sort of came up, you know, in the midst of our conversation. I was like, well, what's, you know, what is there to be so concerned about? Yeah. Around this realm. And he said that for his state, for Ohio, as in many of the sort of Midwestern states, it's a very common job. And so Leo told me that he actually hopes lawmakers just put the brakes on innovation, that around this autonomous vehicle, you know, world that we hear, we see a lot of it around Cambridge, that he just thinks that lawmakers should say no, that there is some technology that we just should not invest in because of the threat that it has for people's jobs. And he said thousands of people are going to be without a job if, say, driverless trucks are our future.
Okay. So, I mean, so putting the brakes on technological innovation, of course, is anathema to so many people around here in the greater Boston area. I mean, so, but now you're covering that.
It is. And Meghna, that is, I would say, kind of precisely what drew me back to this area. I mean, it's sort of the flip side of this equation, right? I mean, I think that we are sort of in the midst of this technology revolution, you know, you could say that we're all living in. And so during the campaign, I met with a lot of people whose lives were affected by technology. And now it's the opportunity to sort of hear from the folks creating it or the folks even thinking about it, right, in sort of academic circles, economists, about what it all means. You know, I've met with a lot of folks already. I've just sort of started on the job. And I think within the Massachusetts economy, it's kind of hard to fathom what the effects are, right? Our unemployment rate is around 3%.
Very low, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me talk to you about this a little bit more because you had mentioned driverless trucks. I read an article a long time ago about how, you know, around the entire trucking routes all across the United States, there's basically an economic ecosystem there as well, restaurants and all the businesses that are along the highways that are supported by the drivers who in these trucks. So it's not just the drivers themselves that could be affected by this technology.
That's so true, Meghna. And I mean, I don't. No, I mean, you sort of get a cross-section when you talk to people about how much I think they're thinking about this. One of the first weeks I was back, I went to an opening for Mass Robotics. It's a sort of shared workspace that they were opening up in the seaport. And I heard from a CEO of a robotics company who made a reference to a project that they were working on in reference to helping sort of laborers, so essentially automation that would help people pick strawberries. And he said essentially that people don't want to do these jobs. These are backbreaking, laborious jobs. And I sort of thought, like, is that true? I don't know, but this sort of conversation feels very divided.
Uh-huh. So tell me briefly, if the folks that you've already talked to, getting Bostonomics fully up and running, if they are thinking more broadly about the impact their technology could have on the labor market.
I think a good number of people are, you know, even if they don't always have a solution. And Meghna, because of the story of this driverless trucks, Leo Jennings, who stuck with me, I often just ask people this question at sort of the end of interviews as we're talking. Yesterday, I met with Gil Pratt. He's the CEO of Toyota's Research Institute. It's the R&D division of Toyota. They're working on driverless cars, both here in Cambridge as well as Palo Alto. And you know, as I wrapped up the interview, I mentioned Leo's story to him, and he was sort of interested in chiming in on this. You know, he told me that the goal of what Toyota is doing is not job replacement. And broadly, when it comes to driverless trucks, he's like, nobody's going to try to essentially replace drivers altogether. That's not, as he understands it, the goal. The goal is to make life easier and safer for drivers.
The truck driver would still be necessary. And of course, when the truck has to start and stop, move into the city at the beginning of the trip or at the end of the trip, then the human being could take over and then run those hard parts of the trip for it. So we don't see it as a black or white type of thing. And we actually think a lot of the potential benefit that we can have in the technology will not have a negative impact on jobs at all.
Well, I imagine there's some people who say there's room for debate on that. But Asma, this is such an interesting conversation, and I look forward to seeing how you and the Bostonomics team are going to explore this in the coming weeks, months, years. So tell me, I mean, people probably have heard the Bostonomics moniker around WBUR. Just briefly, what is the team trying to accomplish?
So, Meghna, we're not sort of a traditional business section, I would say, of a newspaper. Our mission is to look at the people, startups, and companies driving the innovation economy that a lot of us are feeling and say benefiting from sometimes not everyone is benefiting from around Boston. Just quickly, there are four of us. We each have a subbeat. I'll be looking at issues around the intersection of tech and policy, some stuff around robotics and AI. Then there's Bruce Gellerman, as I'm sure you all know. He focuses on energy. Zeninjor and Wameka, who's going to be focused on the nexus between culture and business. And lastly, Rachel Zimmerman, who's going to be covering health. You know, she's been a part of the Common Health team, but she's transitioning over to us. You know, we're getting underway, and I want to say that we welcome stray ideas and pitches and conversations. So if I could just make a really quick shameless plug.
Always.
We want folks to follow us on Twitter. So on Twitter, we are Bostonomics. That's spelled Boston, O-M-I-X. It's the place that we're updating most frequently. But, you know, if you don't really want to go on Twitter and whatnot, you can, of course, follow us on the old school radio as well.
On the old school radio. I'm still partial to the old school radio. Asma Harlan, Bostonomics reporter and editor, joining us today. Thank you, Asma, for stopping by, and look forward to hearing from you more.
You're welcome.